If you'll find your place in 3 John, we're going to look at a familiar portion of Scripture tonight. We want to talk to you about a couple of things. If you want a title for what I'm getting ready to talk about, I'm going to call it Moving On Up. And I am a firm believer that we can move on up with God. Amen? And so one of the things that as I read the Bible and got into the Bible when I was about 22 years old, started looking into the Bible, I realized there were a lot of things in there that I hadn't seen before, even though most of those first 22 years of my life was most Sundays I was in church. And so I came to realize that I had grown up in the church of Ephesus. Over in Acts chapter 19, it talks about the church of Ephesus, and Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" They said, "We haven't even heard that there was one." And that is the church that I grew up in. We didn't know. We weren't taught. We had no clue about, we knew that Jesus had gone to the cross, but we didn't know what that meant. We knew this, that Jesus went to save people, went to the cross to save people from their sin. And if we didn't have Christ in our life, that we'd go to hell. And so the whole purpose of coming to God was so that we would escape hell and go to heaven. That was about the limit of our understanding. But you know, there, since we've been in the Word of Faith camp since 1977, and we learned that there was a lot that God wants to do, and that that He has made a lot available in our midst and for us. And so the questions that I've begun to ask. Over the years, I ask a lot of questions. I ponder things, look at things, you know, and wonder why it's that way, or why does it have to be that way, or could it be a different way? Could it be a better way? And so sometimes I ask the Lord questions. And so I started asking the Lord questions like, if your power is real and it is available today, then why are there so many people not experiencing it? If the work of Christ was sufficient on the cross, then why are people, that many people in churches living just very similar to what the world lives? You know, questions like that. If all the promises of God are yes and amen, why are so few people getting so few promises working in their life? Am I the only one that's ever asked questions like that? And so I'm reminded of something that Brother Hagin pointed out in one of his books. And he said it, I believe, in this way. It may not be exactly right, but I'm getting the meaning right of what he said. The greatest need in the body of Christ is for people to renew their mind to the Word of God. And I believe that that is a hindrance. The number one hindrance in what I've seen in the years that I've been in the body of Christ, the number one hindrance in operating in and experiencing the blessings of God and the power of God is an unrenewed mind. Meaning this, that we do not really know the things that God has told us. And or we don't focus on it, or we don't spend enough time in it to really get it, make it a part of us. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." And so that last phrase right there, "just as your soul prospers," is a 5-word qualifier to the blessings of God, to the prosperity and health that God has for us, that He said that He would like for us to have. You say, "Well, yes," and you could be like one of my college professors was, and he said, "We cannot base anything, any of our life or any of our faith on that verse, because that is simply John greeting a man named Gaius, and it's just a greeting. You cannot put anything more into it. You can't read anything more into it than that. And I'll give him credit, give the professor this much credit. It is historically a greeting from the Apostle John to a man named Gaius. Absolutely. That is absolutely, it's stated in verse 1. And in verse 2, and he calls him beloved, a term of affection. And so we know that. But to say that that's all it is would be to say this then, that the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is all it was. It's just a conversation. You can't read anything into it, can't take anything more out of that. Just a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. You have to leave it there. So you see, now listen to me. Here's the thing. This verse is as much inspired of God as any other verse in the Bible. Now, we do have to be careful how we divide the Word of God and interpret the Word of God, so to speak. But that comes with studying, comes with learning. Amen? Now, proper interpretation of the Bible and properly, rightly dividing the Word of God ought to lead us into the things of God, discovering the things of God instead of giving us reasons not to. In other words, we ought to have a positive Bible interpretation rather than a negative Bible interpretation. Some denominations have a negative. They do. And I believe this. That some people, some Christians of some denominations and so forth, they've got some knowledge, and they're in the kingdom of God in that they're saved, but they work hard, at disclaiming that any of the rest of what the Scriptures promises is available to us today. Salvation is it. The rest of the time, we just have to get along best we can. Hope we hang on to the end. But you know, really, we need to look at this a little bit. John, 3 John 2 is as much inspired as John 3:16. Right. Amen. And so he says here, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. The word prosper is a Greek word that refers to doing well on a journey. That's literally what it means. And it refers to his condition as much as it does to things. How many of you know you can have things, but if you're not doing well, if your condition is not well, that's not real prosperous. So God wants you to be prosperous, but how many of you know there are people in the world that have things, but they're really personally not doing well? So really this has to do with a person doing well on their journey, the condition that they have, and as well as the things that it takes for a person to operate in prosperity. And so it's a whole lot more than just money and so forth. And he says, and to be in health. It says here, that word right there, it has to do with being free from sickness. It has to do with being free from sickness. And so we need to recognize that God would not be opposed to you being well, doing well on your journey, and being free from sickness. I believe that God desired for this part, this letter, and especially this verse right here to be included in the canon of Scripture because it explicitly expresses His will for His people. Amen. And so the thing that we want to focus on for the rest of the message, though, is the last five words, just as your soul prospers. And so we want to look at that just for a little bit and talk a little bit about what does it mean for our soul to prosper. And I believe this. Why is it? Let me give you another question real quickly. Why is it that there are people that love God with all their heart and they obey God to the best that they know? If God tells them to do something, they desire to do it. But why are there so many people that love God not in the place that God desires them to be? Because I've met people that says, well, I know I'm called of God. But, you know, why is it? Heart's right. The desire's right. It's what's up here. It's their thinking that hinders them. Not only that, but let's look at this just a little bit. He said, even as your soul prospers. He did not say, as many would think, as your mind prospers. It didn't say that. It said, even as your soul prospers. Because you see, now, this is important because your soul encompasses more than just your mind. It also encompasses your will and it encompasses your emotions. How many times have you endeavored to walk with God? You don't have to vote on this since it's not November. How many times have you endeavored to walk with God and do and obey Him and your emotions got in the way or your emotions sabotaged your progress? You had to pick yourself up and come to God and get things right and just realign your walk with God again and go at it again. How many times have we had that happen? Many times. More times than we care to admit, Brother Marvin. Why don't you just go ahead and preach the word? Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Because our emotions sometimes cause us problems. Now, let me just tell you this. Back in the day, Tad might remember this, and Brother Bill, I don't know, maybe... Jim, I don't know. We used to have this saying back in the charismatic renewal. You know, I'd be a lot better off if I'd just cut my head off and just go with my heart. Well, you'd be dead. No doubt you'd be better off because you'd be in heaven. But the truth is that we were created with a mind and will and emotions. God created us that way. You have emotions that were put into you. That's God's design. So to write emotions off as bad would really not be the correct picture. But we do need to learn how to take care of them. Amen. Because I've met a lot of Christians that their emotions have sabotaged their walk with God. It's caused them to quit too soon. Caused them to fall in temptation. Cause them to give up under pressure. Amen. And then I believe firmly this, that we have had very little, if any, teaching on conforming our will to the will of God. And understanding what happens when you do that. And so... We really need to understand these things if we're really going to move with God, if we're going to walk with God and experience everything He's got for us. His power's available. All the benefits of His finished work of the cross is available to us. All the promises of God are available to us. Let me tell you, the supernatural realities that are described in the Bible are available to us. The truth of the matter is we often walk in far less than what God has brought to us and offered to us. So, in other words, we ought to do this. If you're going to take care of your soul, I'll give you the short version. You're going to have to renew your mind. You're going to have to conform your will. And you're going to have to learn to control your emotions. Now, you do none of that. None of that is, I say that you do it. You do it, but you do it with the help of the Holy Ghost. That's why He's been given. You've been told what to do, and then He gives you a helper to do it. Amen. There are many times that we need, it's not just an academic exercise to renew your mind. But it is the Holy Spirit writing on our heart as we renew our mind and as we get the knowledge that God has for us. It's not just an academic exercise, but it is as we're studying the Word of God that it becomes alive to us by the Holy Spirit. He quickens it to us. And then as we receive that and rejoice in that, he and meditate upon that, He begins to write upon the tablets of our heart. We're forever changed. Our faith is at a new level. We're able to walk in new dimensions of what God has for us. So listen to me. It is of the utmost importance that we pick up our Bibles, that we study the Word of God, that we spend time in prayer, conforming our will to God, and that, Father, we ask for the help of God in dealing with our emotions. Now, I don't mean this that we ought to have some, some kind of, I'm not advocating some kind of, psychotherapy or something like that going on. I'm talking about applying the Word of God to our lives in these areas. Doing what the Word said. The Word has given us instructions for these things. And I can tell you right now, I don't really have time to just barely scratch the surface on this. But the truth is, listen to me. Let's move on just a little bit. Many believers do not focus on what the Bible says they can have. That's a big problem. They focus on the economy. They focus on their surroundings. They focus on what they're going through. They focus on their past. They focus on their ancestry. They focus on what they think might be possible. And we know it's that way because they'll tell you we can't prosper because the economy's bad. Or they'll say this. You know, you better watch out. You get whatever the latest bug or virus is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. The truth is that there are many believers that are going, they're just simply going at the same level almost. And this is why this is on my heart. They're going at the same level as almost most other people think of what is possible or what is acceptable. I'm not trying to be hard on people at all. I'm just simply pointing out the problem. We have to look at the problem before we can apply a solution. But if you'll stick with me, we'll look at the solution here in just a little bit. One of the things that you and I need to decide is that we will be forever working on this the rest of our life. Because you see, renewing your mind is a process. Learning how to control your emotions and working with your emotions is a process. Conforming your will is a daily thing. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And so we ought to be working on that. Brother Hagin, after 65 years in the ministry, said in his book, Following God's Plan for His Life, for Your Life, he said he prays that prayer of consecration every day. I thought to myself, dear Lord, if he's still doing it after 65 years of ministry, I better get busy doing it to myself. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to recognize that. And so people, I say it this way, that people are often trapped in the condition of their soul rather than what God's word says. Shakespeare said this, he said, make not your thoughts your prison. But that's exactly what a lot of people do. And so we need to be able to move on beyond that. The good news is that we do have the Word of God that gives us the instructions that we need so that we can operate in His blessings and His power and in the benefits and in the promises and in all that God has done for us through Christ. One of the things that I try to get across to people, but sometimes it's a little difficult to do because they think that there's so many other factors. But ultimately, a person becomes the product of their most dominant thoughts. Now, I'm not just telling you, I'm not here tonight to give you a positive thinking speech, although there's nothing wrong with positive thinking. It's better than negative. But it goes much deeper than that. Do you understand what I mean? Why would I want to think positive? Because God has given me some reasons for it. But you see, over in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. One translation says, as he thinks in his soul, so is he. The Revised Version says, for as he reckons within himself, so is he. And so we look at that and we see this statement. But one of the most important things you can do is to keep a statement in context. One, and then once you see a statement, look at the context to see why that statement was put there. Let's look at the context. Look in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6 through 8. He says here, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. His miser, the morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. The Message version says it this way: don't accept a meal from a tightwad. Don't expect anything special. He'll be as stingy with you as he is with himself. He'll say, eat and drink, but won't mean a word of it. His miserly serving will turn your stomach when you realize the meal is a sham. Now listen to me. Let's talk about the context here. The miser. A miser is not a miser because of the meal he serves you. A miser is a miser because of the way he thinks. The condition of his soul. Okay? And he thinks stingy. And he operates that way himself. And he treats everybody else the same way. He thinks that way. You see, so we understand this then, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think miserly thoughts, guess what you end up being? You'll be a tightwad. Did you hear about the tightwad that kept waking up at night because he's afraid he's losing sleep? I heard another one. He was so tight, he climbed over the gate to save the hinges. That's pretty tight. As a man thinks, so is he. I could go on, but I won't bore you with any more tightwad jokes. You see, a person's actions and the way they treat others is often a revelation of their thinking and the condition of their soul. It's really not, let me put it this way. Oftentimes, it's not so much that the other person is the problem as it is the way we think. Okay? Dr. Sumrall said this. He said, believe me, he said, there is no such thing as an idle thought. We are what we think. Nothing reveals our true selves as much as the things we allow our minds to dwell on habitually. And those things inevitably show up in our attitudes, our words, and our actions. Most every man and woman of God that I've ever known, that have ever moved with God, have been ruthless with their soul. They have dealt with it ruthlessly, making it come in line with the Word of God, coming in line with the plan of God, conform to the will of God. And they have taken control of that area of their life. And that's what's necessary in order for us to do it. Now, let me just say this to you. You can read the Word of God and say you read it, or you can hear a message being preached, and you can say, I heard that message, as one man said, Bible school student, in a Bible school that I was at, not Rhema, but another one. I went to three different schools. I was a slow learner, evidently. But anyway, this guy was sitting in the back, and the professor came out, and he was announced his subject, and the student, I'm sure, said it a little louder than what he intended. He said, I've already heard that. And the professor puffed up like a toad frog. Face got all red. And he said, faith does not come from having heard. It comes by hearing and 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 hearing. And he went on for 5 minutes. What was his point? Just because you heard it doesn't mean you got it working in your life. Do you understand what I mean? You've got to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. You, Brother Yoder, stop. I got a question. What is it? How long do I have to hear it? Until faith comes in your heart. What's the purpose of hearing? Until faith comes, until you start reacting, listen to this, until you start reacting like the Word says, Amen. And so you have to realize then, listen to me, you hear the word. You submit yourself to the word. You bathe yourself in the word. Why? Until it becomes second nature. I remember one time I was going through a change, and I was on a forced diet, meaning I forced myself to hear certain things in the word. And I heard it so often that I got sick and tired of hearing it. And you know what I did? I did just like most other people. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. I've heard it and heard it. I already know what they're going to say next. I think I'll just move on to something else. And the Lord spoke to me and gave me some of the best advice I've ever gotten in my whole life. He said, listen to this. He said, if you're sick and tired of it, he said, that's a sure sign you hadn't got it yet. Because once you get it, he said, something will go off on the inside. There is a light comes on the inside. There is a revelation that grips you. The reality of the word will grip you, and there'll be a rejoicing inside of you and a marveling of the reality of it, and that you are able to, God has given you the means by which you can walk in that. So I kept on listening, kept on hearing until I got a second nature in me. Until it started working for me. Until I started thinking that way. Until I started talking that way. I didn't think about what I had to say. It was just a part of me. And started acting that way. And so one of the things that the Lord explained to me during that process was this. What is your name?
Jamal.
What?
Jamal.
Jamal. Let me give Jamal. I'm going to let you keep that. What's your name?
Harrison.
Whew. Sometimes I just thank God for Yoder. And you'd be amazed at how many people, how do you spell that? I'm thinking there isn't very many ways. It's pretty short. It's only 5 letters. You know what I'm saying? But Harrison, I'm going to make an example out of you tonight. Is that all right?
Sure.
You sat on the front row, right in front of me. And so this is your opportunity. Your big moment. But Harrison's always been your name?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because it's all I can remember.
So, you got a driver's license?
I do.
You carry it with you?
Yes, sir.
Why do you carry it with you?
So that if I get pulled over, people know who I am.
In other words, you don't bring it out to look at it once in a while to make sure who you are.
No, I don't. I do not.
Okay. Now, let me tell you this. Harrison, I wasn't there when you were born, but I can tell you how it went with your parents. They decided to name you Harrison. And I can tell you how it went the first time. I can tell you what you did the first time they called you Harrison. They talked to you and said, Harrison, you're so cute. You know what you did? You know what you did? Nothing. You heard it, but you didn't do anything. But you had good parents, didn't you? They didn't look at each other and say, he didn't do anything. Let's try a different name. Bill. George. Sue. Oh, no, wait a minute. They didn't do that, did they?
No,
they just kept calling you Harrison. 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 I don't know how long they did it. One day, something went off on the inside of you. You couldn't explain it, really. But you figured out when they said that, that had something to do with you. Isn't that right? Now, that didn't mean, in other words, you became conscious of it. But that didn't mean that you started doing what they said. That came later. And how many times have they called you and said to you, Harrison, do this as you were growing up?
A lot.
A lot. Isn't that true? And so over the years, you don't need any written piece of paper to tell you who you are. There is a written piece of paper, right? Birth certificate.
Yes, yes.
Driver's license, all of that. But here's the thing. If all of us in this room, listen to us, if all of us in this room came to you, Harrison, and said, we've got some new information. We got some updated information on you. We've been doing some investigating, and your name's not really Harrison. Miss Jamil. What would you do?
I'd say I'd probably go by Harrison still.
Would you? What if all of us marched by and said, we've got some new information? What would you do? Would you change your... Well. Here's the thing. You would do just what you did just now. You would laugh. Why? Because you see, you've heard it and heard it and heard it until it's a part of you. If you're in the middle of this room and somebody yelled, Harrison! You'd turn around and look, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
It would get a response out of you. Because that's a part of you. Here's how the Lord explained it to me, folks. He said, when you get the scripture down inside of you, like you have your own name, he said, that's when it'll work for you.
Amen.
That's why you got to keep hearing, and you got to keep after it, and you got to keep after it, and you got to go after it again. And when you're sick and tired of hearing it, that means you better get to listening some more because you hadn't got it yet. So you got to hear it some more, and you got to hear it some more, and you got to hear it some more, and you got to hear it some more. You got to hear it some more, and hear it some more, and hear it some more, and hear it some more. I'm going to tell you something. You got to hear it until you're just acting like it. You're talking like it. You're thinking like it. Your emotions lined up with it. Your will is in line with it. And so everything comes into agreement. That's when you're able to walk in it. And so we need to recognize the need for us. Abraham had to do the same thing. Give you the short version and then we'll quit. Abraham did not experience the power of God to conceive a son until he was fully persuaded. The promise was there. God kept speaking repeatedly to him. He also did not have a Bible for us to for him to look at, but here's the deal. He kept looking at the reminders that God gave him. He said, your descendants will be as the stars at night and as the grains of sand that you walk on by day. So by night, he'd be looking at the stars. And by day, he'd look at the sand that he's walking on. And it would remind him of the promise of God. His descendants would be as innumerable as the sand, grains of sand, and as innumerable as the stars. Let me tell you something. You need to look at the Word of God day and night and start declaring what the Word says, the possibilities that are written there. You need to start doing that before your life even reflects that. Why? Because that's the way you learn to walk in the light of what God has for you, in the light of what Jesus did for you at the cross, in the light of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. The disciples' literal New Testament says it this way: he did not waver in unbelief with reference to the promise of God, but became strong in faith, having given glory to God. He became strong. He was just like you and I. He didn't start out strong in faith. He started out where he was with the measure of faith that God gives to every person when they start walking with him. He started developing his faith, but he kept hearing and hearing and hearing. Okay? Took a while. listen to his wife, present an option. He got a thought in his head, said, "You be my, tell him you're my sister, so I won't, so they won't kill me." Listen to me. If God's spoken to your heart about something, don't be afraid that the devil's going to kill you. If God's given you an assignment, don't believe that the devil can stop you. Amen. Now, I am speaking to somebody right now. You need to get rid of that thought. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear in the door. Don't give space to that thought that the enemy is going to kill you, that he'll be able to kill you, because he's not going to do it. Listen to me. Why? Because there's a promise, a plan that God has spoken to you. If you'll believe it in your heart, if you'll dwell on that, the scriptures that would go with that, and if you'll get that, make that a part of your life, let me tell you something. That is when you will be able to walk in the light of that. Just because God says something doesn't mean that automatically that we'll be able to walk in it. But let me tell you something. If you'll go through the process of keeping that in front of you, what did God say? What did God say in his word? What did God say to your heart? And you keep that in front of you more than you do anything else. Let it become the dominant thought in your life. It'll guide your thinking. It'll guide your speaking. It'll guide your steps. It'll guide where you go. It'll guide who you hang around with. It'll guide who hangs around with you. Come on. The enemy would come along and say, "Oh, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you." Well, let me tell you something. You need to get busy listening to the word of God. You say, "Oh, Brother Yoda, they just come after me. The devil just comes after me so hard. I just can't hear the word. Now listen to me. Either God's a liar or you are. Because God said, told us to hear his word, listen to his word, study his word. If he told us to do it, then we can.
That's right. Amen.
Come on now. Isn't that right? Come on now. I know that there are times when somebody's got, some kind of something going on, medically speaking and so forth, and they need to get some help, and we're not talking about that. I'm talking about the sister and brother in Christ that's sitting there in the pews tonight, and you know that it's up to you to get into the Word of God. Amen. And so I'm just going to encourage you tonight. I'm going to finish with something T.L. Osborne said. He said, "When the mind perceives God's abundance and begins to comprehend that he created the wealth of this earth for the blessing of his children, the walls of mental enslavement begin to crumble and the rainbow of God's plenty appears." But you see, listen to me. Sometimes our thought life is so far below what God has prepared for us that we're almost oblivious to it. Let's not be like the world that's oblivious to the work of God. Let's not be like Christians that have never been taught. Let's be Christians that know the word, that get the word down inside of them. If the word doesn't come up automatically, then just go back and start hearing the same word again. If you find yourself saying to somebody, "I think the Bible says, I know the Bible says it somewhere, I'm just not sure where it's at, but I know it's in there somewhere," let me tell you something, it's not in there like it needs to be. Because you see, you wouldn't have any problem bringing up your name, would you? See, then in the same way, let's keep staying hearing the word until we have no problem bringing up the word. Isn't that right? See, are you getting anything? So I'm just encouraging you tonight. Stand with me. And I'm just going to tell you this. Listen to me. The good news I'm telling you tonight is this, that your biggest problem is not your neighbor. It is not your spouse. It is not your kids. It is not your boss. Your biggest problem is right here. Between your two ears. But the good news is, it's within reach. You can do something about it. Amen. You can renew your mind. You can study the word and apply the word to your mind, renew it. You can apply the word and learn how to pray what the word says to conform your will to the will of God. You can take the word and speak it over your emotions and learn how to control your emotions in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've given you a very short version tonight of what it would take to be able to have this area working like it needs to. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. In other words, he wants you to prosper and be healthy in the same way that your soul is prospering. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we pray for these precious people, that Father God, that as we look to you, we thank you that you've given us your word. We thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are here with us, that you've given us instructions, you've given us a helper, and that, Father God, that we are never alone, that you are our constant companion, and that you help us in every step of the way. You show us, instruct us, and remind us, and so forth. And so, Father, we thank you that you guide and direct us in this area of renewing our mind to the Word of God. And to the things of God, and until those things become the most dominant thoughts in our life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord right now. And let's just thank him right now for his word. Just thank him for his word. The word, the precious written word of God, that has been put together for our benefit. Hallelujah. And as we have our hands lifted up, let's make a commitment to the Word of God, to ever study the Word of God, to ever hear the Word of God, to reject something that would be contrary to the Word of God, to be quick to move away from things that would be contrary to the Word of God, and that we would not entertain those things in our life. But Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that your Word would be revealed to us. Holy Spirit, you're the great revealer, teacher, instructor. You're the one who guides us. You're the one that enlightens us. Oh, thank you now, Holy Spirit, that you work mightily. Bring us to the understanding, the true understanding of what Jesus really did at the cross. Bring us to the true understanding, the reality of all the promises of God being yes and amen. Bring us to a true understanding of how mighty you, Holy Spirit, are, who live inside of us, and how that bring us to the reality that you are our constant companion, that you are ever helping us, that you never forsake us, you never leave us, that you never you're always ready to help us in everything that we do. In the name of Jesus, we thank you now, Father, that you have brought this to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, I hear this by the Spirit of the Lord. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Don't hold on, but instead, turn to the Word of God. Don't look back at the things of the past, but instead look into the Word of God. Don't look around at all the options that are there. Instead, fasten your eyes upon the Word of God. And in so doing, you shall be able to walk in a new way, in a new way of living, in a new level. Even with your God, you shall be able to talk and walk in a way that you have dreamed of but had not attained yet. But oh, yes, look to my word. Listen to my word, and then you'll see these things come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So right now, for those of you that it would apply to, that you need to let something go. Old ideas. Maybe you held on to an idea of what you thought was possible. Maybe you had an idea. Maybe you had a reason why it was not possible for certain things to happen in your life. Let it go. Let God move in your life. Come on. Let the Holy Spirit do a work. Let Him move you in a way that you know you need to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I keep getting something about chains that need to be broken. Chains that need to be broken. Chains that need to be broken. But let me just tell you this. In an atmosphere like this, where the Holy Spirit is present, moving in amongst us, the chains are being broken. At the revelation of the Word of God, chains are broken, for the truth shall make you free. In the glory of God, change comes. So in the midst of the Spirit of God moving, change can happen. In the midst of us looking to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit quickening that Word to us, chains are broken. So do not despair. Do not despair. Do not despair that those chains seem to be so real. But instead, turn and look to your Redeemer who has stood at the cross, hung on that cross, and made a way for those chains to be broken. The Word has been given to you, and the Spirit of God is upon you now. Chains be broken in Jesus' name. Say it with me. Chains be broken. Chains be broken. Chains be broken. In Jesus' name. Say it, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Now, how many of you believe the Word is true? If that be true, if the Word is true, then those chains were just broken right there. I said, if the Word is true, then chains are broken right there. Just receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Start walking in the light of that. Romans 8:31-32 says that if you know the truth will make you free. The truth makes you free. It is possible to be free. It is possible to move on from whatever it is that had you bound. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless you now, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you for your wonderful power, for your wonderful truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, let me tell you something. God's where you are too. And the same things that I was saying here can apply to you. Chains broken in Jesus' name. Amen. The truth makes you free. Spirit of God works in your life. Hallelujah. Brings forth the change that you desire. But you need to look into the Word. You need to look into the Word of God and keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. Maybe you've known and you've heard what you ought to do based on what the Word says, but it hasn't been a part of your life yet. Determine to listen to it until it does become a part, and you'll be blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is a good God. He has put what He has made available to us. He has not put it out of reach. He's put it within reach. And if we'll learn how to work do the things that God's told us to do, I know that we'll be able to walk in the light of things. Amen. How many of you are going to go look into the Word with a fresh determination tonight? And just be appreciative, more appreciative of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. He's your helper. Amen. And He will help you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know if this did anything for you, but it sure made me happy. Preach myself happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. This is, well, I gave you the short version tonight. We could talk about this for, I don't know how long, but I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's a joy to discover that we're able to walk in the things that God has for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We've got prayer people up here. If you need prayer for anything, then ladies, you can come over here to these ladies. Men, come over to these men right here, and they'll pray with you and help you with that and believe with you in Jesus' name. Connection team, if you would find those first-time guests and take them to the West Lobby where we can get them a wonderful gift, that's our way of saying thank you. Let's give our first-time guests a great big hand, if you would, please, as they go get their gifts. Thank you. Again, if you don't have a church home, then we encourage you to come and to be a part here. There'll be some great things that you can discover and enjoy here. Praise God. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them, be blessed in Jesus' name. Don't forget, be praying for the Hagans. And you can also, every evening, every morning, I believe it is, you can be Facebook Live. You can see what they're doing. God bless you. Have a great week.